broken, we tend to throw them away or throw them by the wayside. Things that have been consumed or used up, we get rid of them, generally speaking. For example, tomorrow we will set out tomorrow's trash day. And as you know, it's tradition on your weekly trash day, you'll take your garbage can and roll it to the street or to the corner because everything in there is garbage, right? Considered garbage. Now, I know the old saying that one man's garbage is another man's treasure. I realize that sometimes you can take things and restore them, and that's actually more of our central thought for today. But you understand the concept that when something is used or consumed or broken, you throw them in the garbage, and then it is taken off and hauled off by the garbage company. Or maybe you take your garbage, or some people I know might burn their garbage. But whatever the list, you do, whatever the case is, you do something to get rid of that. But I want to tell you something about God. God has a way of using broken things. God has a way of using things that have been falling apart, and God has a way of using people and lives that people would say are no good anymore, and we should just cast them by the wayside, and there's not a whole lot that we can do with them. I want you to know that we serve a God today that specializes in using broken things. Amen? How many would say today, preacher, I'm one of those people that has been broken before in my life. I'm one of those people that maybe you would have found in the gutter one day, and I'm one of those people that has been caught up in things in my life, and I want you to know today that I'm here today as a result of what God has done in my life. God specializes in broken things. Not only does God specialize in broken people, but God specializes in broken hearts. The Bible tells us that a broken and contrite spirit, a broken and contrite heart, that God is near to those people. So maybe you're here today and you say, well, preacher, not only have I had a broken life, but I've got a broken heart today. I want you to know that God is near to you today. And when you come to God with a broken spirit and a broken heart, that's when God can do something in your life. Let me share with you a thought that was given by Vance Havner. He said, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce crop, broken clouds to produce rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It was the broken alabaster box that gave forth its perfume. It was Peter, broken and weeping bitterly, who returned to a greater power than ever. Friend, all throughout the Word of God, you'll find that God used broken things and broken people. Here in that saying by Vance Havner, it's illustrated that broken alabaster box that everybody thought was a waste of money. Why would you break an alabaster box at the feet of Jesus? But Jesus talked about how that in itself, that brokenness, it honored Him and it glorified Him. And maybe you're here today, friend, and you've got a broken life and a broken heart, but I want you to know that God can use that for His glory. God can take that story, and God can take that circumstance, and God can take your life, and He can turn it all around and use it for His glory. Peter was the one who said at one time in his life that he said, Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. And yet, what did Jesus do? He was the one, when they came to Him, He denied Christ three times, did He not? And the Bible says after that Jesus went and wept bitterly. I mean, He was really broken because of Him saying, Jesus, I won't deny you. And then He went and did that exact same thing that He said He wouldn't do. But you realize that after that is when God used Peter in a great way. That God used the brokenness of Peter, and Peter came back a stronger Christian than he ever had been. And friend, churches are full of people today. I mean, they might have a shirt and tie on. Are you with me? They may wear a shirt and tie, they may look good, but you have no idea how broken they have been. So for God to get them to that place where He can use them for His glory today. So that's what we're looking at today, friend. It's just a simple reminder from the Bible that God uses broken things. And you say, well, Pastor, I have that broken heart you're talking about. That's okay, dear friend. As long as you give God all the pieces, give it to God and let God do something special with it. The first thing that we're looking at today when we're talking about God uses brokenness, But let me also give you this verse real quick in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. Did you see that with me, church? It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. As we get into the message this morning, I want you to know that even if you're broken today, spiritually speaking, you can have a hardness. Now, generally, people who are broken tend to be soft, right? They're tender-hearted, and that's the kind of people that God can use in your brokenness. But if you're not careful from a spiritual aspect, you can be broken but have developed a hard heart towards the things of God. And friend, if we come in here to the house of God, and no matter the reason why you're here, and we're glad you're here, but if you come in here, whether you're here just today or whether you're here every week, and we come in with a hard heart towards the things of God, friend, we're not going to allow God, we're not going to be able to allow God to do what it is He wants us to do. Now, the two verses that we've read have illustrated breaking up your fallow ground. Now, many of you, maybe you've been in a place where you've tried to grow a garden or you've tried to grow something. One of the things that you have to do, no matter which part of the country that you're at, of course, most of you know, we came back from Kentucky. A lot of that dirt is tough, and you have to break it up, right? You have to literally either take a plow and disc it up, or you have to take a hoe or something and break up that ground, a shovel, and loosen up that dirt, break up that ground. Because if you just take a seed and drop it on there, it's probably not going to do very well. Oh, but friend, if you break up that ground and soften up that soil, place it inside that dirt, and put all the elements that it needs, sunshine and of course water, and in some cases fertilizer and other things, then you're making a recipe for something to grow. You see, friend, that's what we're talking about today. And in the Bible here, we're picturing that ground that it says to break up like our hearts. And if you're that person that says, Pastor, I do have that broken heart, well, the first thing that we have to do is recognize the fact that that ground or that heart needs to be broken up in order for God to use. You can use your brokenness to get you better instead of allowing it to be bitter. Because that's usually what happens when people get broken in their lives. They either allow it to get themselves better and you can grow from that, or if you're not careful, friend, you can become bitter as a result of that. One of the greatest dangers that we see in churches today, or the greatest problems, is not the things that you often would think, but one of them, I believe, is bitterness. Somewhere in your life, you got hurt, you got wounded, something broke your heart, and you have been bitter ever since then. You have been angry ever since then. And maybe you're not going around screaming and yelling every day, but deep down on the inside, something has made you bitter. Friend, if you're going to allow God, you're going to have to allow God to come in and break up that fallow ground, if you will, of your heart, if you're going to allow God to do something. Or you can allow it again to allow you to make it better. Now, the first thing that must happen for God to use broken things, and God does specialize in that, but there needs to be a process, if you will, in order to get that. Number one, the obstacles must be removed. The obstacles must be removed. In other words, if there's some things in your life right now, and God wants to do so, there may be some things that need to be removed out of your life in order for God to use you to the potential that He wants to use you. Now, sometimes when you break up ground, you can break it up, but there's some things that are in the way, right? There's some obstacles that are in the way. Some of those hindrances might be stumps, for example. All right, especially, you know, again, depending on where you're at, if there's trees and there's stumps in the way, it's going to be kind of hard to disc that. Those things are going to have to be removed before we can really break up that ground and use the land to its potential, right? Now, you know the interesting thing about stumps, you know what stumps have? Stumps have a lot of roots, don't they? They go deep down into the earth and they can hinder a lot of progress for that seed or crop to get into the ground and to grow. So maybe stumps have to be removed. Maybe there's a lot of, not just stumps, but also a lot of rocks or boulders that need to be removed. Right? You know that rocks, large rocks and things of that nature have to be removed because, hey, if there's a big rock there, I mean, that's going to cause a problem. Maybe there's thorns that need to be removed, right? Part of that discus breaks that up. So those things are not suitable for it to grow. Now let me give you this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore seeing we also compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now watch what it says next, church. "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know what the Bible is telling us here, friend? That if you're going to be in this Christian race of serving God, there might be some weights or hindrances or sin in our life that must be removed and taken out of our life so that we can run the race that God has set us to be on. So going back to that thought, if we've got a fallow ground of earth picturing our heart today, maybe there's some things that have to be removed. Maybe there's some stumps. And you know, those stumps are a picture of that bitterness that we were just talking about. Because that's what bitterness does. It takes root deep down in your heart. Maybe there's some rocks picturing that hardness that you have developed. And boy, no matter what happens in your life, I mean, you can come to the house of God and hear the message of God, or you can hear a song that seems to motivate and stir everybody else up in the church, but then you just sit there like nothing has ever happened. Maybe some of those rocks or those hard things need to be taken out. Maybe there's some thorns in our lives, and in the Bible, thorns always picture the world as well, and there's some thorns that are choking out what God wants to do, and even though there's a good seed planted when the Word of God is preached, but there's some thorns that need to be taken out of your life and taken out of your heart because God is trying to do something special, but you've got too many thorns in your life. Now, do you want God to help you or not? Do you want God to take your brokenness and do something and make something special out of it, friend? Because the world may say you're no good. The world may say you're a castaway. But I'm here to tell you, because of what God did and what Jesus did at Calvary, He's telling you that you're worth something. Jesus loves you today, friend. And maybe somebody hasn't told you that recently. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross for you and I. First of all, friend, if God is going to use you in your brokenness, there may be some obstacles that need to be removed. The second thing that I want to mention about how God uses broken things and the process of God uses broken things, number one, obstacles must be removed. Picture of an unusable ground. Number two, the heart must be prepared. That's what we call cultivating the ground. Cultivating the ground. Now, that cultivating may involve a couple of things we mentioned a second ago. First of all, some things got to be taken out of the way. Second of all, that plowing must be done. And you know, that plowing, depending on how long it's been plowed, sometimes it's pretty tough to do. You know, I used to, really my first job, I don't want to say job where I had taxes taken out, but just my first job was working on the farm. Working on the farm. In Lebanon Junction, Kentucky, and before we did anything, before we planted everything, we had to break up that ground. And sometimes my job was just to go with somebody and ride on the tractor and just do whatever needed to be done. Sometimes my job was to follow behind the tractor, and if they missed a plant, they missed something to put down there, then I just walked behind the tractor and put a plant down, right? But either way, before we could do anything, before we could grow anything, we had to break up that ground. So you see, friend, do you understand the seriousness and how critical it is when we come to the house of God? Do you understand that that is what God is trying to do every time you come to church? You understand that every time you come, God is trying to soften you up. That's part of what the preaching of the Word of God is intended to do. Now, there's many reasons for it. It's to strengthen our faith. It's to understand the doctrine of the Word of God. It's to tell us about salvation, how we can come to know Christ. But God always intends for it to soften your heart too. We always ought to come to the house of God. Lord, what can you do to me today or help me today? What can I change? What can I improve in my life? Lord, speak to me today. So that's part of the cultivating that God wants to do. Every time you come to the house of God, every time you open up your Bible and read from the Word of God, God, if you allow Him, will cultivate that ground or your heart. So first of all, we said obstacles must be removed. And second, we said the heart must be prepared, and that involves, first of all, plowing. And you realize that God uses sometimes different things to break up our ground. Sometimes God uses circumstances. You understand that? Sometimes God allows things to happen. Now, I will tell you, oftentimes I have a belief that we give way too much credit to the devil all the time. But remember, friend, I could take you to story after story after story and give you example after example where God used circumstances to break people down. And then again to turn it around and use that brokenness for His glory. Maybe God has allowed you to suffer some heartache. And we've talked a little bit about that here a little bit ago. There was a scripture that says, after you have suffered for a little while. Then some things after that that God was able to do after you've suffered a little bit. So friend, just keep in mind that sometimes things happen. And you might be confused. And in fact, the Bible says, count it not strange, these things that have happened to you. Sometimes strange things seem to be happening to you, but maybe those strange things were actually by divine appointment because He's trying to break something up. He's trying to do some plowing in your life. He's trying to do some cultivating in your heart so that God can do something special in your life. So friend, it's important to remember today that first of all, obstacles must be removed. Second of all, it's important to remember that the heart must be prepared. That's the cultivating of the ground. The third thing that is important for us to remember is that there may be an effort to put forth, or that effort must be put forth. That's working the ground. Now, if you're going to grow anything, friend, not only does preparations have to be made and cultivating have to be done, but you're going to have to put in some work, right? If you're going to grow a garden, if you're going to grow anything, it's going to take, generally speaking, you can't just put a seed in, give it a little bit of water, and then just leave it alone. Right? Effort has to be put forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what work must be put forth? Well, friend, you know, I think sometimes people think, well, I get to a place in life. Here's what happens a lot. Listen real close. They get to a broken place in their life. And they know they need something. And just because of the way that they grew up, or that maybe something they were taught growing up as a child, they say, well, maybe I need to visit the church. For the record, that's a good start. Because this is where you'll find the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Did the songs encourage you today? Did they help lift your spirit? We talked about that in class today. That's part of the purpose for that. But friend, understand that the most important thing is, of course, what we get out of this book right here. So what I'm trying to tell you, friend, is that it may take more than just one service. In fact, I know it will take. You know what we need? We need to be in church as often as we can. Hey, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm so wicked. I get so hard-hearted sometimes. I think I need more preaching than just 3 times a week. And in fact, that's why I've always had a personal conviction. If I preach 3 times that week, that I got to get in at least 6 because I'm double wretched as you are. I need help. Friend, I need a lot of help. And you see, friend, sometimes we think, well, I'll just go to church and get a little emotional experience. Friend, you need more than an emotional experience. You need God to change something in your heart and change something in your life. Yes, sir. So don't just think that one time coming to the house of God is a fix-all. Now, God can do something tremendous. God can save your soul if you've never been saved by the grace of God. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, God can change that course of your life forever. But I'm talking about really allowing God to do something and take your brokenness and put it together and make something special. Friend, it's going to take more than a trip to church on Easter and Christmas. When you get married, do you think it's a good idea to just spend a couple days out of the week with your spouse? Or even a couple days out of the year? Probably a pretty bad idea, I think. You make a commitment to spend the rest of your life with them till death do us part. So friend, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Our relationship is even bigger than that. God wants all of us, not just a couple of times a year or on special occasions. I've said this before, let me say it again. It amazes me how many people have enough faith to take them to heaven, but not enough faith to take them to church. God's trying to do something special with your brokenness today, friend. But you can't allow Him to work if we don't come to the house of God and put forth an effort. Say, sometimes it's, I get it. I work a full-time job just like most of you. I get it, friend. Sometimes I come here on Wednesdays and, man, it's tough. I don't leave work till 5 o'clock. Church starts at 6. There's been times I've been late before. Do you think it's an effort to come? Yes. But you know what part of putting in effort? Effort means putting in discipline. That means faithfulness. The Bible says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some determination. You know what I appreciate? When you're determined, it's hard to beat a man who won't quit. Amen. Brother Courtney, I hope you don't mind, but you were determined to be here today. No matter what. The man fell off of a roof. If he had called me and said, Pastor, I just don't feel like coming today, I would have understood. This brother could have perished. We know other stories where that's happened. This could have been a different kind of day. There could have been a solemn over our church if we had lost this day. I haven't known this guy very much, but he's special to me. This man was determined to come to the house of God and say, no, I made a commitment to get baptized, and even though I know it's going to hurt a little bit, I'm coming to the house of God to get baptized. Friend, we need that kind of determination. We need that kind of commitment towards the things of God. Imagine if you had that same kind of commitment and determination towards the things of God as you did your job or hobbies or other things. Man, what could we do? What could God do with this church? It's hard to beat a man who won't quit. We mentioned this morning that obstacles must be removed. That's that unusable ground. Hearts must be prepared. That's cultivating the ground. An effort must be put forth. That's working the ground. Number four, of course, brings us to our main thought. That simply says that God fixes broken things. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Let's read a few verses there. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Just turn over a few pages if you're still there in Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. For the record, does anybody have an idea what the picture of the potter's house today would be? You're in it. You're in it. So I didn't know that. You're at the potter's house right now. This is the place where God takes broken things and make something beautiful out of them. You're in the potter's house, whether you realize it or not. Say, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You realize what's happening here is that you're hearing the words from the Lord. This chapter started off by saying the word that came to Jeremiah from where? The Lord. Don't leave here today and say this was pastor's word, because it's not my word. What we're giving you here today, friend, is a word from the Lord. Are we looking to the Bible? Are we using the Word of God for our source of preaching and teaching today? That's called a word from the Lord. And I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I will go down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know what that means? That means it was broken or distorted or something wrong with it. So that vessel came to the potter's house. You and I are vessels today. And every single vessel here today, according to the Bible, has been marred. So how do we know that, preacher? Because the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. our righteousness is as filthy rags. So every single person here, spiritually speaking, has been marred. So there is a need to go to the potter's house and hear a word from the Lord. Let's read on. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. They came to the potter's house, and God took something that was broken. God took something that was no good, and he made a new vessel out of it. Do you realize that the Bible talks about vessels under dishonor and vessels unto honor? Don't you realize, friend, that even if you're a vessel of dishonor, even if you're broken, even if you've been cast away, even if you came in today and you feel like there's nobody in this world that cares about me, there's nobody in this world that loves me, I'm good for nothing, and the devil's got you convinced that you're worthless today, friend, you are a valuable piece of pottery in the hands of God. And God took that broken vessel and he made it a new vessel. And he made it something beautiful. And he took all that brokenness and that part that was marred and not beautiful to look upon, and he made it something special. That's what God did at the potter's house. That's what God wants to do in your life today, dear friend. It doesn't make a difference how broken you are. In fact, generally speaking, the more broken you are, when you give that to God, the more beautiful God makes it. Kind of like when you've seen something that needs to be restored and you thought, man, there's no way that that could be restored. I like to watch videos of things that are rusted or broken, and then a carpenter or a blacksmith or somebody comes out who knows how to work that material or work that metal. He takes it and he cleans it and he cultivates it and he makes it beautiful again. And what I've come to find out is that the ones that were the most beautiful to me were the ones that started off the most ugly to look upon. Or the ones that say, nah, that you might as well just throw that away. Nothing can be done with that. It's just too far gone. You know what's sad today, church? There's probably some people here today say, Pastor, I feel like I'm too far gone. I feel like I'm no good. I feel like I'm so far gone that God can't do anything with me. Friend, that's not true. God loves you so much, it doesn't matter how too far gone you think you are. It doesn't matter how much work you need, how much restoration you need. Friend, when you put it in the potter's hands, oh, that's when God can make something even more beautiful out of it. And the more broken you are, the better and the more beautiful that God can make you to be. But you have to allow yourself to be put in the potter's hands. God fixes broken things. He makes what's unusable now usable. God has the ability to mend. In Psalms 147:3, he healeth. Watch this. I'm going to give it a second. He healeth the broken in what, church? He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. How many of you suffered an injury that caused you or had to go to the hospital and get stitched up? Probably a lot of us have. You know, that's part of the hospital or ER doctor or whoever worked on your responsibility. You come in with a wound and they sew you back up, put you back together as best they can, don't they? Look what God does. He healeth a broken heart. Now, you don't have to lift your hands, friends, but how many inside would say, Pastor, I'm so broken today. Yeah, I couldn't even begin. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I wouldn't even know where to start to tell you how much pain and hurt I have on the inside today. You know what God specializes in? Healing the broken heart and binding up their wounds. Some of you would say today, Pastor, I've been wounded. And I'm not talking about a knife. And I'm not talking about some rocks or something else that may have cut your actual flesh. I'm talking about you've been wounded by people. There's no one here today that hasn't been wounded in some way, form, or fashion. But you see what God does, not only does He heal the broken heart, but He bindeth up their wounds. You know what that means? Is that He, spiritually speaking, just puts that back together. And you know what I've come to find out, friend, that when the wound is healed, I could show you on the left side of my leg. I was on top of a doghouse, little boy. I was a little boy. Don't ask me to explain to you why I was on top of the doghouse. But I jumped off that thing. And I jumped off the side and there was a nail that was sticking out. And it went right in my leg and it ripped open the whole side of my left leg. Of course, they took me to the doctor and they bound me up. They bound up my wounds or sewed up my wounds. It's the same thing. But you know what, friend? If I was to show you the left side of my leg, you know what you'd see? You'd see a scar, and it's about that wide, even still as I've grown. But I was healed from that wound. And friend, there may be scars left. There may be scars left, but if you don't allow God to heal your brokenness, if you don't allow God to heal those wounds, you're going to continue to bleed out. And you know what happens when you keep bleeding out? You die. And that's exactly what the devil wants out of some of you all today. You're dying, spiritually speaking. You may be alive in the flesh, but on the inside, it's dead. And friend, you better allow that brokenness in heart to give it to God, and you better allow God to bind up those wounds. And yes, there'll be scars. There'll be memories of the pain and the hurt. But you know what? I don't even think about that. It's very rare. I've literally gone years without even actually thinking. It's not a spot that I normally look at. The scar is still there, friend, but I've moved so far past it. I don't even think about it. And you see, friend, that's what God wants to do to you today. Yeah, there may be a scar. Yeah, there may be a memory. But God wants to bind up that wound. So if you're here today, say, Pastor, I've been broken. Pastor, I've been wounded. Friend, come to the healer. Come to the potter. Come to the great physician who can make everything whole. God is able to mend broken hearts. God is able to mend broken homes. God is able to mend broken hopes. God is able to mend broken health. God is able to mend broken happiness. That's all that God can do. He can fix all of those things. God specializes, in fact, in broken things. You know, there's certain times in life where you would need a specialist on certain things. For example, if we were to construct and design a new building or a new place to build, which would be a blessing, and I could see that being a need for our church, by the way, we call somebody who's called an architect or engineer, and they specialize in designing buildings and make sure they're to code and all those things. So they're specialists in that field. If you need some legal help, you know, depending on what you need. If I was out here driving 30 over and I got pulled over, I'd probably want to call a lawyer who is experienced in criminal law or that kind of area of the law to help me. I probably wouldn't call a bankruptcy lawyer or a family court or lawyer. I want to call somebody who specializes in that field. If you had a heart problem today, would you go see a foot doctor? Makes no sense. Right? Of course, you'd go see a cardiologist. Why? Because he specializes in matters of the heart. Who do you think is our spiritual cardiologist today, friend? God specializes in fixing broken hearts. You start to look at people. These are just a couple of examples in the Word of God. You know, you think about Joseph. We did a study not that long ago on Joseph. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was forgotten about. He was illegally accused, cast in prison. I know that Joseph was broken. But look at that story of the brokenness and everything that Joseph did. And at the end of Joseph's life, he said that God meant it for good. And that actually through all that brokenness that he had to suffer, God saved a lot of people through that situation. You think about David when he was broken. For David fell into sin. David was, was trying to be overthrown by his own son. David was sought after to be killed. And many of the Psalms you'll find is simply as a result of David's brokenness. But look at what God did with him. God used him, and he had a great kingdom, and he had a lot of great victories, and he made preparations to the building of the temple. God didn't allow him to build the temple, but he made a lot of good progress in that. And the Bible says his testimony was that he was a man after God's own heart because he gave that brokenness to the Lord. We mentioned a couple weeks ago about Paul's brokenness got to the place where he had that thorn in the flesh, and he went to the Lord and asked God to help him, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." There was a time where Paul was forsaken and forgotten about by everybody. Demas had forsaken him. Alexander had withstood him, went against him. He said, "Only the Lord stood with me." And God took his suffering and brokenness, friend, and God helped him. The last thing I want to mention here to remind us of, there was another one that was broken, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, I want you to see this verse. "But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions." That simply means our sins. "And was bruised for our iniquities." Another name for sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." God used his brokenness to heal us. By his stripes we are healed. Because he was broken and he shed his blood, we are able to be healed because of what Jesus did for you and I. Let me say this and I'm through, friend. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter your perception on how far away from God that you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. God can take that brokenness. God can bind up your wounds. And because of what Jesus did, by his stripes, we are healed. Say, what do I do, preacher? Well, first of all, let me say a couple of things. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, in other words, what we mean by that is that if you were to die today, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. I want you to know that you can get peace and assurance today. You can get peace and assurance today that you're going to heaven when you die. So, Pastor, do you go to heaven by being a good person? No, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then it goes on to say, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Say, "Pastor, do you get saved by baptism?" We're getting ready. No, you do not get saved by baptism. You know what? The people that have been in my class, Brother Courtney, all the people that have been studying, they'll be the first ones to tell you that baptism does not save a person. Baptism is an identification with Christ. It is a public profession of our faith. It is a first step of obedience. So baptism doesn't save you either, friend. Say, do I have to give so much to the church? No. No amount of money could get you into heaven. You cannot purchase salvation. You can't buy something that's a gift. If I have this book right here, and I give it to this brother, and I say, "That's a gift for you, Robert," and he turns around and reaches in his wallet and says, "Let me pay you for that," and it ceases to be a gift. Right. Say, "Well, what if I come by and fix your floors for you, preacher, as a result of this, what you gave me?" It ceases to be a gift. It's a gift because it's a gift, and you don't do nothing to pay for it or to earn it. So you see, friend, salvation, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't do a single act. You can't put enough money. Salvation is a free gift of God. That is why the Bible says it is the gift of God. Say, so what do I do? You got to receive it. You got to receive it. God offers up his free gift of salvation, and all you have to do is receive it, friend. But maybe you're here today, and you can know that you've been saved, but you've been broken. You've been wounded. Friend, God wants to give you healing today. But you got to put it all in God's hands. I ask my wife if she'll come. Every Everybody stand to their feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe those who are getting ready for baptism, go ahead and get yourself prepared. If you need to go make preparations for that, go ahead and do that now, please. But I want to tell you today, friend, no matter what your need is, maybe you're here today and you're broken. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around for just a moment. Nobody looking around for just a moment. Just focus on what the Lord wants. Say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I've never been saved. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this. Say, Pastor, I'm broken today. I've had some wounds today. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand for just a moment? I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Who else will say that? Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Say, Pastor, I'm broken today. I need some healing. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody? I'm going to pray, but the invitation is still open. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And Father, I do pray that you be with the ones here today. Lord, maybe there's some here today that's never trusted in you as their personal Savior. God, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, several lifted their hands and said that they've been broken, they've been wounded. Lord, I pray that you'd help them in a special way today. God, I pray that you'd touch them. God, I pray that you'd give them what they need. Lord, I pray that you do a work in their heart that only you can do. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with the rest of the service. Lord, as we come forward to present these candidates for baptism, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated, but remain quiet, please, for the next few moments. Let me get a couple of the fellas. Let me see. Roger, why don't you guys get a couple of things moved up here? I asked my wife if she'll continue to play. Maybe if y'all got a song, that's fine too. Why don't y'all do that?
The door is open, come on in as you are. All you need to bring is what remains of your heart. I see the years of pain and fear on your face, but take a step, enter in. You are safe in this place. You're never too broken to belong. Never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And grace that's greater than the darkest of sin. But taste and see, take his hand, let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. Never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too were wounded and defeated, so we know how you feel. But by the wounds of our Redeemer, we believe we were healed. You're never too broken to belong. Never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too broken to belong. Thank you.
Y'all please join me in singing the first and last verse of Amazing Grace. Page number 3, by the way.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less age to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God.
Turn to page. Page 91, what a day that'll be. I think that's really good.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Now let's do that last verse one more, that last chorus one more time, a cappella.
What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. I love that song. Thank you all for being here. I meant to have some certificates ready, but a lot going on. I apologize. There's some other ones I want to get. I will take care of that real soon, but I do want to thank you for being here in church. Thank you guys for coming out and supporting, being a part of the baptismal service. It's always a special time, but we want you to know that you're all welcome, and we would actually love for you all to come back and be with us here. You're always welcome here at Florence Baptist Church. I'm going to go have a word of prayer and dismiss. Normally, I stand in the back. Like I said, I'm just trying to avoid that, so I'll wave at you. Glad to have you all here today. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Let's all stand to our feet and have a word of prayer and dismiss this service. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for each and everyone that's here today. Thank you, Lord, for Diamond, for Courtney, Lord, for